Blog Talk Radio.
Holler if you hear me. Yeah. Here we go, turn it up, let's start. From block to block, the second heart, the second muscle, and the punk police can't fake me a minute.
Black power, and more black power to my people. What's the war cry? The war cry is black power. free the land. The Huru. All right, my people. The brother, soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Don Saddam Kweli. And I'm happy to be live once again with you right here in the hills and smells of North America. This is, of course, a privilege. This is a joy. This is an esteemed honor to talk to you, my sisters, brothers, and some others for my revolutionary radio broadcast, Black Power Radio. Welcome. It's Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on that dial. You know what we do always. We bring you the truth. We represent for our ancestors. We represent for our people. And we keep it real right here in the modern times. For those of you who, if it's your first time listening, welcome out. If you've been with us for a long time, we appreciate your support and your steadfast support. Stay strong with us. We got to get into some heavy subjects tonight. I want to open this show giving thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers that answered to many different names. We give thanks to all of our ancestors, all of our freedom fighters, male and female, all of those who helped to organize and build civilization, all of those who were the warriors who helped to fight against our colonizers and oppressors, and all of our educators. We thank all of them. Although too many to name, we say ashe for them and give thanks for them. And, of course, we give thanks to you who's organizing in this modern time, or whatever formation you fight from, whatever front that you fight from, whatever label that you fight under, we're thankful for you. If you're a black man, a black woman that's in the hells and smells of North America and you're waking up, we're thankful for you. If you're an indigenous man, indigenous woman, and you're waking up, we're thankful for you. If you're there in the Caribbeans, if you're in Africa, if you're in Brazil, no matter where you are and you're waking up here in the world, we are thankful for you. For even though that they try to shut the light out and make it a dark hour, the lights are still shining in the darkness. And so we greet you with peace in whatever language that you use. Assalamu alaikum. We say Hotep. We say Shalom. We say peace to the gods, peace to the earth. We say Jarrah. We greet you and thank you in whatever language that you use. Peace to you all and welcome for Black Power Radio. Now, of course, you all know why we're here. First things first, we got to send a ashe up there for a mighty warrior who you heard bring us in the intro. A brother who had that bloodline of that panther in him. That son of that mighty panther warrior, Black Panther warrior, New York 21, one of the New York 21 who defended herself in a trumped up case against them soldiers. She defended herself and defended the comrades, and they were acquitted. And this black man, his embryo was birthed in the prison industrial complex. She was carrying him around in her womb while she was fighting her trial. Not long after getting out of the concentration camp of America, she gave birth to a black man who would be known to the world as Tupac Amaru Shakur. Tupac Amaru Shakur, who was born on this day, June 16, 1971, who, even though he'd say he didn't have many figures who he could look up to, he had to look up to those in the streets, and he looked up to Black Panther members and founding members who were there to guide him. And he took both of their messages. He took the Panther message and he took the street message. And he, along with Dr. Mutulu Shakur and OGs on the West Coast, and his brother, Moprim Shakur, who one day we'll have on the show, crafted that code of thug life and was reaching out to the G's and the gangsters and the formations to organize some methods to the madness. And we're doing the same thing in 2014 in his name and his honor and in other honors. In other names, we're organizing the G's. We say we want you all to get with us as we do this hood-to-hood, hood-general community covenant coming in July, but building right now. We want you to also get with the National Committee to Overthrow Poverty right now. Call this number, 347-903-0886. Again, 347-903-0886 is the number to call to sign up in your area, no matter where you're at. If you're in the new Black Panther Party or not, no matter what your organization affiliation is, if you ain't got no organization, you're a black man and black woman who want to see some real change and put some real work in these streets and put the boots to the ground, 347-903-0886. Same number to call if you're ready to register with the new Black Panther Party and hold that black line. Black power to you all. That's the world cry tonight as we go in depth to one of the great speeches of the Black Pie General. We also send a ashe up there to a great, great queen warrior who transcended earlier this week. We're talking about Sister Queen Ruby D. We say ashe for her, and we thank the creator for her life. We talk about tonight one of the most legendary speeches of the Black Power General. And I have to say, first, giving thanks to our foundation in Dallas, Texas, with Aaron Michaels and No Soldiers. Giving thanks to the warrior lawyer, attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Giving thanks to the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And giving thanks to our national chairman, General Minister Hashim Nzinga. We give thanks to all of them, all of those who hold this Panther line in this hour, because we know that it's a hard task. We know that there's pressure involved with it. We know that those before us were set up. We know that those before us, many were jailed. We know those before us, some were assassinated. We know those before us, some gave up the fight. But we understand in this hour that we cannot give up the fight. We understand that we must fight harder and that we must organize tougher and that we must build strong in 2014 than anything that they built in 1964 or 65 or even 66. We must build up stronger today in 2014. All formations must build up stronger in 2014 going into the future because black life depends on it. There's more ignorance today than what there was in 1966, in 1965, in 1964. There's more savagery, more filth, and more craziness that goes on today than what happened in all them years combined right now in 2014. So we need a movement more than ever. We need a real black power movement more than ever, not just a movement where you're talking rhetoric and pumping the fist, but we acquire some power through some organization and through some unity and through some demands and through some programs. We're talking about a real movement in 2014. We got to have people that will be the catalyst of change, that you're willing to be the catalyst of change. And so it's fitting that we play this and give you this, these words from the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, who was our national chairman from 1998 until 2001 when he made his physical transition. And why is this important? Because many of you out there who say you're representing black power and representing for the people, you buck dancing, you boot licking, and you're scratching where you don't itch. You're giving us a week watered down representation of a movement, and that's why the people ain't moving. And that's why the people ain't going nowhere with you. And that's why the people ain't supporting like they should, because you're watering down. And I understand that when Dr. Khalid Muhammad transitioned from the scene, many of you took the opportunity to get weak. Many of you took the opportunity to let up off the enemy. Many of you took the opportunity to stop organizing your people and try to find an easier way to do it now. Now you want to find a comfortable way to do it now. Now you want to buy into the multicultural melting pot phenomenon that was propagated by the United States only to make you a slave. And so we have to remind you of your greatness, remind you of your boldness, and remind you of the mission at hand. When these babies are out here dying in the streets like they are, and kids or children are killing children, babies are killing babies. Drive-by shootings in the neighborhood. Elders are afraid to come out and walk around at nighttime, afraid to come out and cash their Social Security checks. We got to give you some strong medicine. You can't lower the dosage. You got to up the dosage when the sickness is getting worse. You got to give the right medicine. You got to give the correct dosage. And we can't back down in 2014. And so we must give you the legendary words of the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, because he was the revolutionary standard bearer. He of his time was the standard bearer and the ideological figurehead for black revolution in North America. Many of you wouldn't even be saying black power if it wasn't for Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. No disrespect, but you wasn't saying black power before Dr. Khalid Muhammad organized this new Black Panther Party and put black power back on your minds. Many of you had let that cease with Kwame Ture. Many of you had stopped that with the 60s and with the 70s. Many of you had bought into the pimp and the whole phenomenon that came up out of the 70s and the 80s the Dolomite phenomenon, and the Superfly phenomenon, you would stop saying black power. Took it away from the hearts and minds of the youth, and you let J. Edgar Hoover win a slight victory. But damn it, we're here to say that the new Black Panther Party is breaking the bones of J. Edgar Hoover. We're going to ground the bones to dust of J. Edgar Hoover and any other opposer out there in the FBI or otherwise that think that you'll break the movement like you broke the movement yesterday. We say try it and see. Try it and see. We already know that the God of our forefathers and foremothers is with us, and we know that our people is with us. So we say happy birthday to that warrior, Tupac Shakur. We say we keep his name alive and keep the mission of the outlaws alive, operating under thug laws as warriors. Salute to all my comrades and the outlaws, and we keep him alive and keep that mission alive. But right now, I want you all to pay close attention to this lecture and pay close attention to the words of the Black Power. You know, as we dissect it, it was given in Harlem, New York. Harlem, New York, his last speech, his last physical message on this planet. Right there in Harlem, New York, he was transported right there to the Harriet Tubman Auditorium by National Chairman Minister Hashim Nzinga. Him and that general, I in their uniform in a truck stop, talking about dedication. Didn't want to be late. Couldn't stop it. Get in no hotel or no motel. Went to a truck stop and commandeered a iron the uniform and kept it moving. A little background behind that. And so I want you to hear the instructions, and then we'll go forth and dissect this. This is Black Power Radio.
My subject tonight is no more Negro stuff.
That's right.
Revolution.
That's right.
Is the solution.
That's right.
No more Negro stuff.
That's right.
Or we should say in Ebonic, enough Negro stuff. What is it? Enough Negro stuff. Revolution is the solution. And what is revolution? The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that revolution is complete constructive change. What is revolution? Complete constructive change. He teaches us that revolution is, again, complete constructive change. You start at one point, and you must go, it is said, 360 degrees. The Bible puts it this way, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. And in the beginning, you ruled, black man. In the beginning, you ruled, black woman. So in order for a revolution to take place, complete constructive change, you must be placed back at the pinnacle of rulership, back at the pinnacle of civilization. Again, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. Malcolm told us, Minister Malcolm X, the Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, Brother Omar Wiley, as he was the national spokesman of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Malcolm X said, a revolution is bloody. A revolution is what?
Bloody.
A revolution is bloody. Malcolm said, a revolution knows no compromise. A revolution uproots and overturns everything that gets in its path. He said, why, if you knew what a revolution was, some of you would get back in the attic. He said, why, if you knew what a revolution was, some of you, well, you wouldn't even use that word, Malcolm said, in your vocabulary. And he repeats, he said, a revolution is bloody. Oh, yes, it is, he said. There can be no revolution unless there is bloodshed. There must be bloodshed in order to change the economic system. There must be bloodshed in order to change the political system. There must be bloodshed in order to change the academic and educational system.
Yes, sir.
There must be bloodshed in order to change the religious systems of the world and the religious order that is in place today. There must be bloodshed. Every one of you under the sound of my voice went through a period where mother had to experience bloodshed. When we look at it, our head was at the top inside of mother's womb, is that right? And our feet were at the bottom. But before we could come to birth, a revolution had to take place. And the baby had to go through this revolution, a turn in the womb of mother, so that the head moved to the mouth of the womb and the feet turned upward away from the mouth of the womb. And once the revolution took place, and once there was bloodshed, then the baby's head could do what is called crown. But the baby's head cannot crown unless a revolution takes place. And you, black man and woman, cannot wear the crown of freedom, justice, and equality. You cannot wear the crown of liberation unless a revolution takes place. And unless there is some bloodshed. Once the baby's head crowns, then at a point, at a stage, the baby is able to forge its way into the manifest light of the sun, but a revolution must take place. Again, revolution is complete
destruction.
Everybody say it. Don't be afraid of to say it. A revolution is what?
Complete destruction.
Now, that was almost everybody. Now, let me hear everybody this time. A revolution is
complete destruction.
Some of you sitting there looking at me like an old nun on the law. You scared to even say the word revolution. Your wig is crooked. Your weave is in your eye. Your jerry curl is dripping on the table behind you. You're afraid to say that revolution means complete constructive change. You want to change in Harlem. You want to change in Brooklyn, in the Bronx. You want to change in New Jersey, in Philly, in Los Angeles, in Alabama, in Mississippi, in Nigeria, in Ghana, in South Africa, in the Congo. But before a change can take place in the world, a change must take place in you and in me, black man and black woman. There can be no change in the world until a change takes place in us. You can't be the same old Negro expecting the world to change. Some of you have been to every forum in Harlem, every forum in Brooklyn, every forum in New York City. You've been to every forum. You have every tape in your library, and many of you have every book and some books that some of the others may not have even heard of. And though you have all of this, we are yet in the same condition. Many of you have not made a commitment. You just come. You just like to be entertained. You just like to leave saying so-and-so sure did rap. Did you hear how he laid it down? Did you read such and such a book? Do you have such and such a tape? You should come to my house and see my wall. I got everything on the wall, but I ain't got a goddamn thing on the ball. This is the condition of the so-called American Negro. The so-called American Negro in the 21st century is a new kind of Negro. He's a Negro and she's a Negro that wears kente cloth. He's a new Negro and she's a new Negro that will wear mud cloth, that will wear cowrie shells, that will celebrate Kwanzaa, that will quote everybody that you can quote. Malcolm said, Fanon said, Garvey said, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, but a new Negro is a Negro that looks for every excuse to integrate with the white man under the sun. You want to march with them. You want to do what they call pick Nick with them when you don't even know what pick Nick can really mean. You want to learn how to be a socialist with them, how to be a communist with them, how to be a Muslim with them, how to join the faggot federation with them, and be sissies with them, and be queers with them, and be lesbians with them. You want a brotherhood and a sisterhood and an otherhood with white folks any way you can. So many of us have not joined any organization. You're just the event junkies who just come out. And then when it's time to vote, even though you got on all your mud cloth, all of your kente cloth, all of your African clothes, you were seen, many of you, in line voting for Gore, voting for Bush, in line, enough Negro stuff. Revolution is the only solution. You were voting for Gore. Some of you Negroes were really hurt that Gore didn't win. Negroes crying crocodile tears, snotting and boogers everywhere, because Gore didn't win. Talking stupid talk. Bush stole the election. He stole the election. Nigga, that should tell you that for a long time the white man wouldn't even let you vote. Now the cracker lets you vote but won't even count your damn vote. But you still want to be the white man's nigga in the 21st century. Enough Negro stuff. Revolution is the only solution. You need a revolution of your mind. You need a revolution of your heart. You need a revolution of your spirit. Any Negro that can claim to be black can be claimed to be African and get in line and vote. One of two crackers is out of their mind. One devil is better than another devil. One Satan is better than another Satan. One Lucifer is better than another Lucifer. There's no difference, Malcolm said. And we paraphrase him and bring him right on down to the modern times. There's no difference in Gore and Bush. No difference in the Democratic devil and the Republican devil. They're both devils. Malcolm said there's no difference in the Democrat and the Dixiecrat. There's no difference in the Southern white man and the Northern white man. Except in the South, they'll shoot you 13 times, and in the North, they'll shoot you 41 times. The only difference in the Northern cracker and the Southern cracker is that the Northern cracker speaks with a Northern accent, and the Southern speaks with a Southern drawl. But a cracker is a cracker is a cracker is a cracker. Enough Negro stuff. Revolution is the only solution. We need complete constructive change. Negro intellectuals don't want to move the way Dr. J is moving. Negro intellectuals don't want to move the way Dr. Maulana Karenga is moving. Negro intellectuals don't want to move the way Dr. Malefi Asante is moving, or Dr. Wade Noble, or Dr. Patricia Newton, or Dr. Francis Cress-Welsing. Negro intellectuals still in the hip pocket of the white man. Right. We need a complete constructive, what?
Change.
A complete constructive change. Revolution is the only solution. You must arm yourself. Some of you ready to run out of here now. It's too radical for black people to have guns. But when the white man has the National White Rifle Association, nobody calls that radical. But when black people talk about getting guns, that's radical. It's just a club when white folks have guns. It's called a rifle club. It's called a rifle association.
Teach, brother, teach.
Huh? And some of you got guns. But you got guns for blacks. You hate blacks. Oh, yes, you do. You get into an argument, you say, nigga, I'll kill you. Nigga, I'll blow your brains out. Nigga, I'll pour hot water on you. Nigga, I'll dump starch on you. Nigga, I'll pour
hands off you, nigga. But when the white man comes, you can hear a rat pee on cop. Negro don't say a word. Your gun won't shoot when the white man comes. But you'll shoot each other. You're a big rapper gangster. You'll kill big and small. You'll risk your own life to get in, to blow him away. You'll kill Tupac Shakur on one of the busiest thoroughfares in the world, in Las Vegas, Nevada, where there are lights everywhere and cameras everywhere. You will risk sliding up to the car to kill your brother, Tupac Shakur, because you claim you're a gangster, but you don't kill four crackers who shot down Brother Amadou Diallo 41 times. Whether I'm suggesting it or not, it's still something that we think about. And if we're not thinking about, it's something that we should at least dream about, if nothing else. No more. Enough. Negro stuff. It's revolution. And revolution is the only solution. Before it's over, you're going to have to fight this crap.
That's right.
Negroes from the Congressional Black Caucus voting against Sister Assata Shakur. You even got an old Negro on the Congressional Black Caucus, a Negro named Bobby Rush from Illinois, who used to be a member of the original Black Panther Party. Here's a Negro that used to be a Black Panther, a member of the Congressional Black Caucus. But when House Resolution 254 came on the floor, Bobby Rush, former Black Panther, wouldn't vote for Sister Assata Shakur against the no-good bitch in New Jersey. That's what I call her. The no-good bitch in New Jersey, Christine Whitman. The last time I said that at the memorial of Brother Kwame Ture, do you know I had a group of sisters to come to me and say to me, you should never call any woman a bitch. And they argued with me all evening over calling Christine Whitman a bitch. I didn't call a woman a bitch. I called a dog a dog. I called a bitch a bitch. And if you're a rapper, if you want to call somebody a bitch, then you should call the real bitch a bitch in your rap lyrics and stop calling the black woman out of her name. But you don't have the heart as a rapper to call the white woman a bitch. You don't have the heart as a rapper to call the white woman a hoe. You don't have the heart to talk about blowing the white man's brains out. But you got the heart to talk about it in all of your lyrics. When you're talking about yourself, when you're talking about your own people, enough Negro stuff. Revolution is the only solution. Revolution is the solution. And revolution is complete constructive change. You ain't got no revolution if you have change. You just have change. You worried now that Jesse got caught. Some Negroes running around crying. It's not even anything we're going to spend a lot of time on. But here's a Negro that when I was doing battle for our people, crushing crackers everywhere, this is a Negro that called the white folks up. He was on just about every television network. He was in just about every newspaper condemning me for revolutionary talk and action and black power ideology against white folks. But now that same Negro sneaking and creeping, that same Negro, now we understand why he defended Clinton against Monica Lewinsky so hard. He's right there in the White House with his woman, not his wife, understanding Clinton and Lewinsky because he had Karen at his side while he's at the White House and left Jackie alone at home. No good, nigga. But these are the boot-licking Negroes that you look up to.
That's right.
slick-headed Negro running around dripping Jerry Curl all over the street, compromising with the Ku Klux Klan, compromising with the white police department, compromising with Gore and Clinton and just becoming a Gore whore. This is a shame. Revolution is the solution. When you look at the universe, brothers and sisters, it is light, light in the universe that leaves the sun and strikes the planets at their imaginary equator, causing them to spin, as with planet Earth, at the terrific speed of 1,037 and a third miles per hour. It is light striking the planet with its rays of energy that causes the planets to move again, spin, and rotate. We can't have a revolution unless we have light. We can't have a revolution unless we study. But evolvement comes through involvement. You can't just read and make no commitment. You can't just watch a tape and make no commitment. You can't just listen to a tape and make no commitment. You can't just come here and make no commitment. You can't just show up in court for support and make no further commitment. You can't just march and make no commitment. This is Harlem, New York. We should have a mass black power movement right now in Harlem, New York that would create waves all over the planet Earth. Where is that mass black movement? We are scattered, some here, some there, and some over there, instead of a mass black movement. Who come out of the gangster disciples? We have brothers and sisters from the colleges and universities. We have brothers and sisters from the grassroots, from the community. The building of a black united front. I'm here tonight to say again, enough Negro stuff. Complete constructive change is the only solution. And I want to take this opportunity before I close to go over with you, thank you, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense 10-point program and platform. How many would allow me to share that with you? Let me see if the man. We can't read this unless we give credit where credit is due. There would be no 10-point program and platform if there were no Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. There would be no 10-point program and platform if there were no Honorable Elijah Muhammad. There would be no 10-point program and platform if there were no Bobby Seale and Huey P. Newton. The original Black Panther Party 10-point platform and program came from the aims and objectives of Marcus Mosiah Garvey. The original 10-point program and platform of the Black Panther Party came from what the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So Bobby and Huey sat down and framed the 10-point program and platform, standing on Garvey's shoulders, standing on Elijah's shoulders. And so today, in the 21st century, we have reached back to all of them, and we have created a 21st century document, the new Black Panther Party 10-point program and platform. What the new Black Panthers want, what the new Black Panthers believe. Number one, we want freedom. We want the power to practice self-determination and to determine the destiny of our community and the black nation. We believe in the spiritual high moral code of our ancestors called Maya Inkuzo Saba, and we believe that black people will not be free until we are able to determine our divine destiny. Maya, truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, balance, order, and reciprocity. The Inkuzo Saba, what is it? And let's do them in Kiswahili. That's good. The first one is? What is it? Umoja. The second one is?
Kujichagulia.
The third one is? Ujima. Ujima. The next? Ujima. We have. It's pronounced Ujima. And what's the next one? Nia, Kuumba, and Imani. Unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. The new Black Panther Party is based on Garvey and Elijah, Huey and Bobby, based on Mayotte, and based on what? The Inkuzo Saba. We believe that our base should not be in Karl Marx. Our base should not be in any Marxist-Leninist ideology. We believe that our base must not be from someone's little red book, but as Dr. J said, it must be, paraphrasing him, based on our own little black book. Point number two. We want full employment for our people, and we demand the dignity to do for ourselves what we have begged the white man to do for us. We believe that since the white man has kept us deaf, dumb, and blind, and used every dirty trick, as COINTELPRO, in the book and others, to stand in the way of our freedom and independence, that we should be gainfully employed until such time that we can employ and provide for ourselves. We believe further in power in the hands of the people, wealth in the hands of the people, and arms in the hands of the people. Point number three, we want tax exemption and an end to the robbery of the black nation by the capitalists. We want an end to the capitalistic domination of Africa in all of its forms. Imperialism, criminal settler colonialism, neocolonialism, racism, sexism, Zionism, apartheid, and artificial borders. We believe that the wicked racist government, this wicked racist government, has robbed us, and now we are demanding the overdue debt of reparations. A form of reparations was promised 100 years ago, 40 acres and a mule, as restitution for the continued genocide of our people and to, in meaningful measure, repair the damage from the African Holocaust. And we use two Swahili terms, Maafa, which means death or disaster, but it's not being strong enough for us. We register the use of Maafa, but we go deeper into Kiswahili to use the term for the African Holocaust. And that term we use is Maangamizo. What is it?
Maangamizo.
What is it?
Maangamizo.
And Maangamizo doesn't let the white man off the hook. Maafa means death. Maafa means a disaster. It can be any kind of disaster. It can be any form of death. But when you say Maangamizo in Swahili, you are saying that someone intentionally, willfully, with premeditation and forethought, that their very nature was involved in the murder and the destruction, the complete destruction of another people. So again, we use Maafa. And we use, what's the other one?
Maangamizo.
What is it?
Maangamizo.
Maangamizo. We believe our people should be exempt from all taxation, Everybody ready for that one?
Oh, yeah.
As long as we are deprived of equal justice under the laws of the land and the overdue reparations debt remains unpaid, we will accept payment in fertile and minerally rich land, precious metals, industry, commerce, and currency. As genocide crimes continue, people's tribunals must be set up to prosecute and to execute. But we don't just want gold for reparations. We don't just want what? We don't just want what? We don't just want silver. We don't want just precious metals. We don't just want some currency, some Benjamins, some paper, some cheese, some cheddar. I know they say cheddar always makes it better. But we don't want to just get some money from the white man. And we don't just want land. Some say land, but settle the debt. Give us the land, give us the money, give us the precious metals, give us the commerce, give us the industry, give it all. But before it's all over, in order for us to be able to repair the damage, there must be an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, a limb for a limb, and a goddamn life for a life. Reparations means that there must be some blood of our enemies spilled. We must have blood payment. Dr. John Henry Clark said that South Africa was taken from us in blood and can only truly be returned to us in blood. The white man's blood must bathe the earth. That's revolution. You thinking you're going to walk in and close a shower curtain, pull a lever, or puncture a pregnant chest, or some other foolish, and get free. Not only must we have all of this for reparations, but there must be the spilling of the white man, the shedding of the white man's blood. How many agree with that? I'm here to tell you that there's medicine. We're talking about reparations. Reparations means to what? Repair the damage. What does it mean? There must be healing in reparations. Is that right?
Yes.
That is just compensation and restitution. So I'm here to tell you that there is medicine in the murder, and there's healing in the killing. There's healing in the killing, and there's medicine in the murder. When this black man is turned loose, when this black man and black woman's mind is free, and when this black man and black woman, even if it's through our babies or our babies' babies' babies, if we are too afraid to do it today, when that's set loose on the white man, when that's set loose, brothers and sisters, we're talking about a real revolution. We're talking about uprooting and overturning everything that gets in our path.
Right.
We're talking about killing.
That's right.
Until we're satisfied.
That's right.
Killing until we're whole. Some of you don't want that coming at you. You want somebody up talking pretty. All kinds of metaphors and quotations and singing a little song in the middle. Having a little hymn, and strike up the organ, strike up the band, and play the piano. Hell, if poetry could get us free, we would have been free a long time ago. But we must have more revolutionary poets who will pour revolutionary poetry into the minds and hearts of our people. Rap, revolutionary rap. All of this must be in the minds and hearts of our people.
Right.
Revolution is the solution. Complete constructive change. The so-called Jews were given reparations. The Japanese were given reparations. The black, the red, and the brown nations must be given reparations. The American white man owes us reparations. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
England owes us reparations. France owes us reparations. Belgium owes us. Europe and all owe us reparations. The Arabs owe us reparations. The so-called Jews owe us reparations. All who have taken part in the African Holocaust and the slaughter of 600 million of our people over the past 6,000 years in general and 400 years in specific, we feel that this is a reasonable and just demand that we make at this time in history. How many believe it is an unreasonable demand? Let's talk about it a minute. Is there anyone who believes it's an unreasonable demand? Point number four, we want decent housing, fit for shelter of human beings, free health care, preventive and maintenance. We want an end to the trafficking of drugs and to the biological and chemical warfare targeted at our people. We believe that since the white landlords will not give decent housing and quality health care to the black community, then the housing, the land, the social, political, and economic institutions should be made into independent Ujamaa New African communal cooperatives so that our community with government, reparations, and aid until we can do for ourselves can build and make drug-free, decent housing with health facilities for its people. How many agree with that? Let me see your hands. Point number five of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense 10-point platform and program. We want education for our people that exposes the true nature of this devilish and decadent American society.
Yes, right.
We want education that teaches us our true history and history.
Yes, right.
And our role in the present-day society. We believe in an educational system that will give to our people a knowledge of self. If we do not have knowledge of self and our position in society and the world, then we have little chance to properly relate to anything else. How many agree with that? Let me see your hand. Point number six, we want all black men and black women to be exempt from military service. How many agree with that? We believe that black people should not be forced to fight in the military service to defend a racist government that holds us captive and does not protect us. We will not fight and kill other people of color in the world who, like black people, are being victimized by the white racist government of America. We will protect ourselves from the force and violence of the racist police and the racist military by any means necessary. How many agree with that? Let me see your hand. Point number seven, we want an immediate end to police harassment. How many agree? Police brutality, how many agree? And the murder of black people, how many agree? We want an end to black-on-black violence. How many agree? Snitching. How many agree? Crime coming with the oppressor. How many agree? There must come a time when we kill every goddamn snitch again. That time should be now. That's what they're telling me on the streets. I'm just quoting. It goes on to say, we believe that we can end police brutality in our community by organizing black self-defense groups, black people's militias, black liberation army that are dedicated to defending our black community from racist, fascist police, military oppression, and brutality. How many agree?
Yeah.
The Second Amendment of White America's Constitution The Second Amendment of what?
White American.
White American.
Whose Constitution?
White American.
Whose?
White American.
Some of you don't want to say that. It's not your
Constitution.
It's not our Constitution. It's a racist, sexist document.
That's right.
It was never intended for you. Never intended for me. The Second Amendment of White America's Constitution.
That's right.
Gives the right to bear arms. We furthermore therefore believe that all black people, how many?
All
black people should unite and form an African United Front and arm themselves for self-defense. How many agree? How many scared to raise your hand? Point number 8. We want an immediate end to the death penalty. We want what?
End to the death penalty.
And we want freedom for all black men and black women held in international, military, federal, state, county, city, jails, and prisons. How many agree?
Yeah.
We believe that black people and people of color should be released from the many jails and prisons because they have not received a fair and impartial trial. And America is not qualified to judge. Point number 9. We want all black people when brought to trial to be tried in a court by a jury of their peer group. How many agree?
Yeah.
Or people from their black community as defined by white law of the Constitution of the United States. We believe that the courts should follow their own law if their nature will allow, as stated in their Constitution of the United States, so that black people will receive fair trials. The 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution gives a man or a woman a right to be tried by a peer group. A peer is a person from a similar economic, social, religious, geographical, environmental, historical, and racial background. To do this, the court will be forced to select a jury from the black community from which the black defendant came. We have been and are being tried by all white juries, or people of color with white minds on those juries that have no understanding of the average reasoning person of the black community. Point number 10. You ready for that one?
Yes.
Point number 10. We want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace. How many for that? We want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace. And as a political objective, we want national liberation in a separate state or territory of our own, here or elsewhere. How many want that? Some of y'all scared to raise your hand here. You scared he might ship us out to sea? You scared the Peckerwood might walk in here right now and say, all right, niggas. All you niggas sitting there with all that African stuff on. Listen to that shiny, bald-headed nigga up there. All right, nigga, just give me back everything and hit it belong to me, nigga. Everything. Give me my clothes, nigga. Here we are sitting in here looking at each other buck-naked. Sitting here buck-naked. Say, give me the shoes, nigga. We sitting in here buck-naked, barefoot, looking at each other. Give me the microphone, nigga. And the microphone jumps right out of my hand. Give me my tables, nigga. Give me my chairs, nigga. Now we all standing up, butt naked, barefoot, no microphone. Give me the lights, nigga. These are my lights. Here we all standing up, butt naked, barefooted, no mic, no chair, no table, in the dark. Is it all right, nigga? Give me the grease out of your hands, nigga. Here we are standing here and lost the grease from our heads. All right, nigga, give me my ditches. Are you fine? You coming in there? Yeah, you got your damn teeth. He said, nigga, give me the building. Here we are now, standing up, butt naked, no shoes, no chair, no table, no mic, no light. The floor right out from under us. The building right out from behind us. They're all around us, and here we are, outdoors, buck naked, indoors. He said, all right, niggas, give me back. You talking all that talk. All right, buddy, give me back, niggas. Give me back everything that belongs to me. Nigga, I've taken over Harlem. Nigga, get off the ground, nigga. Here we are, jumping up and down, outdoors, in the dark, buck naked, barefoot. No place to sit, no table, no light, no mic, no building, no floor. He said, all right, nigga, you still, you crazy nigga, you dedicated nigga. You jumping up and down, buck naked and barefoot. I took the mic from you, nigga. I took everything from you, nigga. But you still listen to that nigga. All right, nigga, give me my language back. Now the nigga standing up in front of you can't even talk to you no more. Here you are thinking, all right, nigga, you thinking in English. Give me back my thoughts out of your head. Here you are, blank-headed nigga, can't listen no more. Buck naked, barefooted, in the dark, no building, no floor, no chair, no table, cold as hell. And the crackers say, all right, nigga, I got air rights.
Stop breathing.
I got air rights. You niggas can't breathe my ass.
That's what I said. Stop breathing.
You niggas can't be in my ass face. Brothers and sisters, we need a separate state or territory of our own.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we can buy land, and we must buy land so that we can practice nation building.
Yes,
buy land so we can practice nation building. But when we buy land, understand that the deed that we have in our hand that we got from the white man, if you read in the fine print at the bottom, it says the United States government maintains the right of eminent domain, which means that the property costs $100,000. But you wanted to make sure you owned it. You gave the cracker $200,000 just to make sure you owned it. But it says at the bottom of the deed, the United States government maintains the right of eminent domain. So you pay all of them high real estate taxes, and the white man come in, even though the property only, the land only cost $100,000, you paid $200,000 for it. The cracker can still take it, can he?
Yes,
can he still take it?
Yes.
What about the popular vote and the electoral college vote? Did George Bush win the popular vote?
No, sir.
He did not.
Who won the popular vote?
The people.
Gore, right? Gore won the popular vote. But even though Gore won the popular vote, Bush won the what? Electoral College vote. Hey, I'm not into that. You take your Electoral College. You take your goddamn popular vote. We in the New Black Panther Party believe that the vote should be a revolutionary weapon. That the vote should be a cock hammer. And we only use it on certain issues at certain times for certain candidates. But stop being the white man's nigga, getting in line to vote every time there's a damn election. It should be a revolutionary weapon. Based on the cock hammer principle. Let me read on. We want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace. And as our political objective, we want national liberation in a separate state or territory of our own, here or elsewhere, a liberated zone, New Africa or Africa, and a plebiscite, a what?
A plebiscite.
A vote, a what?
A vote,
a plebiscite to be held throughout the black nation in which only we will be allowed to participate for the purposes of determining our will and divine destiny as a people. Free the land of you mighty nation, you can accomplish what you will, black power. We believe that the black man must focus on all of these 10 points and this program, this platform. And we close with these words. We believe that the white man has proven to be absolutely disagreeable to get along with in peace. How many disagree with that? That the white man has proven to be absolutely disagreeable to get along with in peace. No one has been able to get along with the white man. all the peoples of color have been subjected to the white man's wrath. We believe that his very nature will not allow him to practice true sharing, fairness, equity, and justice. Therefore, to the red man and woman, to the yellow, and to the brown, we say to you, the same rabbit dog that bit you, bit us too. Black power, all power to the people. Let me cover a couple of points and then we'll open up for the question and answer period. You say Khalid Muhammad has no program. You say Khalid Muhammad has no platform. That is the 10-point program and platform of the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. It flowed from my heart as I studied Huey and Bobby, as I studied the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, as I studied the aims and objectives of the honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. That's the 10-point program and platform. That's the ideology. That's the doctrine. That's the philosophy. You say, why did you want to restart the new Black Panther Party? Why did you want to start the Panther Party all over again? Because I believe there's a need for the Black Panther Party. What is your position on the original? I see Brother Thutmose is here. Let's all stand. Please give him a strong black ear. I've seen the elders and hard workers along with Brother Herman Ferguson in the community.
Yes.
On the original Black Panther Party, or some of you call them the old Black Panther Party, we don't refer to them as the old Black Panther Party. We refer to them as the original Black Panther Party. We stand on the shoulders of the original Black Panther Party. What is your position on them? We love them. We can't get caught up in the madness of the entanglement of the disputes that existed at that time. Whether we're out of the Huey School, the Bobby School, the Elrich School, the Elaine Brown School, the this school or that school or another school. We can't get involved in that. We honor them for the rich legacy that they left. But the new Black Panther Party must be based on Afrocentricity. The new Black Panther Party must have Africa at the core, Africa at the center of whatever we do. The new Black Panther Party must have African spiritualism. We must believe in the God of our forefathers and the God of our foremothers. We cannot have a revolutionary Pan-African Black nationalist movement and not believe in God, not believe in the God of our ancestors,
that's right,
not believe in African spiritualism.
That's right.
So the new Black Panther Party has African spiritualism and the African God concept,
that's right,
at its very core, at its very center.
That's
right. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
We are revolutionary Pan-African nationalists.
Yes, sir.
You say, well, how are you going to be both? How in the hell are you going to exist and don't be both?
That's right.
You can't be one and not be the other if you're going to have complete constructive change. If you're going to have, excuse me, a revolution, you must be both. We are revolutionary Pan-African Black nationalists. We believe in the total unification and liberation of Africa and all African people wherever we are on the face of the planet Earth. We are revolutionary Pan-Africanists. But we are also Black nationalists because we want some of this land that we can call our own, some of this earth that we can call our own. And we believe that the first African that we must free is the African that's right here with us. That's the first African we got to free. It's this African that I'm looking at and the African that you're looking at. We got to free this African. Because this African right here is in the most strategic place in the world. This African here is right here where the head of the snake is. And if this African will cut the head of the snake off, then the rest of the Africans around the world can breathe a lot freer than they are. Because once this African, us, cuts the head of the snake off, the red, white, and blue stars and stripes forever snake, the United Snake of America, when we cut that head off, it loosens its grip on Africa, the Caribbean, and the rest of the world. So we are the most strategically placed African in the world because the American white man is the number one enemy of the world. And we know this cracker better than anybody else knows it anywhere on the face of the planet. Am I lying to you? We must work on nationalism, our sense of nationhood. We must work on statehood, statecraft. All of these are terms that we must become familiar with in all of their nuances and differences. We are revolutionary Pan-African. Excuse me. Revolutionary Pan-African nationalists. Are there any questions on that? We are separatists. As our 10-point platform says, we believe in a separate state or territory of our own. We do not believe we are Americans. We do not believe that we have ever been Americans. And we do not believe that we ever will be Americans. I see Sister Yah Asantewa Nzinga in our audience, who is fighting to train and teach our babies in the public school system of New York, and was fired because she told our babies that they are not Americans, that they are Africans, that they are the original black people of the planet Earth, and a Negro, a fat Negro woman principal, and ain't your mama grits head rag wearing woman fired her because some crackers at the school, some imposter white Jew who just crawled out of the caves and hills of Europe just a few days ago, wanted to teach the babies that they were thugs and hustlers and low down and no good and have them playing all kinds of roles and stuff. And she said, no, babies, you cannot do that. You come from a rich legacy, a rich history. You are not Americans. You are Africans, and you never will be Americans. Give her a strong black hand. You have lost your mind. I'm a separatist. God damn it, let me say it again. You understand what I'm saying? I'm a separatist, fool. I'm saying, straight up separatist. I'm a separatist, is what I'm saying. I'm trying to speak everybody's language. I'm a separatist. I believe in separation and independence. I don't believe in crawling around, laying around, begging my enemy to gimme, lemme, have, can you spare? I don't believe in going to my enemy, trying to borrow from my enemy's history on credit. Just don't believe it. Separation is the only solution for freedom and independence. Did America integrate with England?
No, sir.
Did America integrate with the British Empire?
No, sir.
Did the 13 colonies that started here integrate with King George in England?
No, sir.
They did what?
Separate.
They did what?
Separate.
Say it, they did what?
Separate.
God damn it, they separated from them. Separation. Now that 13 scrawny colonies is more powerful than the British Empire.
That's right.
Has grown into 50 powerful, wicked, evil states. Is that right?
That's right.
Separation. I'm a separatist. We of the new Black Panther Party for self-defense, we make no apology that we are separatists. That's it. You want us to explain John Brown? One cracker from history. Modern day, you want us to explain Marilyn Buck? Is that her name? Huh? Marilyn Buck. One from Today, we believe that we should give credit wherever credit is due. If John Brown helped black people to kill some white folks before he got killed, then John Brown did some good, but that doesn't make John Brown good. You can do good and not be good. A dope dealer can be killing babies all in the community by selling them dope, is that right? But that same goddamn dope dealer might be giving turkeys out, might be giving bread, giving all kinds of food out to the community, might be paying some of the elders light bill, water bill, gas bill, utility bill, might have even bought a van to take them back and forth to the store. That means that that killer of our babies who is selling dope in the community is doing some good. Is that right? That's good, isn't it? The things I mentioned. But that doesn't make the drug dealer good, because the drug dealer does some good. John Brown did good. But John Brown is not good. That doesn't stop John Brown from being the devil. He's a devil who rose up against his own. So we give him credit where credit is due. Marilyn Buck, they claim, they say, was responsible for helping in the escape of our great revolutionary sister, Afsana Shakur. If Marilyn Buck indeed was responsible and worked and helped, then Marilyn Buck should receive what? Credit for the good that she has done. But she bears the weight of all of her people on her life.
That's right.
And it is only what she should do.
That's right.
And Patty Hearst and many others, when they had those flashes of guilt and doing some good, Jane Fonda, who was an equal opportunity whore.
That's right.
Everybody got some.
That's right.
In every movie, they all did some good. But that doesn't make me change my position on them. Because they do some good. Don't be confused. The New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense stands on separation and independence, revolutionary Pan-African black nationalism. That's where we stand. Some of you are afraid to even work with us. I got to talk to you because some of you are here.
That's right.
You've got organizations and you know that I toe the line. I don't deviate to the left nor to the right. I don't give a damn who changes. You know I don't change.
Right.
You know that even those that I love and admire and look up to and respect do questionable things and seem to change and actually change and look like they're integrationists and probably are turning into integrationists. But I toe the line. And you know that I also come with righteous revolutionary principles. And if I don't, then goddammit, call me on it. Don't sit around claiming you got this kind of revolutionary organization, and you got that kind of revolutionary organization, and another kind of revolutionary organization. But Colin has never invited to your meeting.
Yes.
You have your big reparations conferences. Colin ain't invited because Colin gonna come. He's talking about killing some white folks. He's gonna talk about there's healing and the killing and there's medicine and the murder. So you don't want that there. You want to talk academically about reparations. Well, reparations. We must repair the damage. And we want the white man to pay us X number. We've been calculating this over a period of time. And we believe that it's an exodus of so many trillions, not a million and billions of dollars. But you don't want to say that once you get the money, the land, the metals, and all of that, that some crackers got to die if your great great grandma and great great grandpa. Always to be satisfied in your grave. You don't want that in your family. You don't want that there. Or Khaled offends your white folks that you invite to your meetings. Many of you revolutionaries can't even crack without a cracker being there to wipe your behind. And you go in your meeting and you just skinny and gritty. Oh. Buddy, Sophie, Ronnie.
Johnny!
But so you don't want Khaled to come because he'll embarrass you. He will hurt your white folks' feelings.
Yes.
But what does he say wrong? Call him on it. But you lift up Malcolm's name. You lift up Garvin's name. You lift up the names of those that you say are key in the revolution. But you choose, pick and choose. You don't always embrace Old Testament, Malcolm. I'm with Old Testament.
That's right.
I'm not with New Testament, Malcolm. I'm with Old Testament.
That's right.
I'm with Old Testament Farrakhan.
That's right.
I'm not with New Testament Farrakhan.
Right.
I'm with Old Testament Farrakhan.
Right.
And God damn it, I got the heart and the nerve to say that I'm with Old Testament Malcolm and Farrakhan and not New Testament Malcolm and Farrakhan. Right. But you lump them together. You lump them together. Why don't you ever invite me? Why? We have our social and we have representatives from this and this and this. We were thinking about including you. Why you gotta think so goddamn hard? The most uncompromising one among you. And you have to think about whether you can invite me to hell with you. I go on working. I don't wait for you. We've been thinking about it and discussing whether we should invite Khaled. But you call Malcolm's name. That's hagiography. Where you call on the name of the saints. You call on the name of the greats. Malcolm said.
Yeah.
Mao said.
Yeah.
Come on, brothers and sisters. Let's get real.
No,
complete constructive change.
Yes,
enough Negro stuff. Revolution is the solution. Even if you have these sets, don't you at least want the radical view among you?
All right.
And if you consider yourself radical, don't you want to hear a more radical view?
Right.
Don't you want that in your circle?
Right.
If you don't, what in the hell is wrong with you? How can you be with this Negro and that Negro and a Negro who sold us out over here, a Negro who's tiptoeing over there, a Negro who's buck dancing over there? But you bypass college. Oh, you got all kind of big criticism. At the million you marched 98, that was irresponsible. Shut up, fool. That was the most responsible thing that could be done. The most responsible thing that could be done. I would have been irresponsible if I saw them damn crackers lining up with all their riot gear and all their horses and all of the everything that they had. And I told our babies and I told our elders and I told our people, let's bow our heads now and sing. We hell no. Or tell them, let's just go. They don't want us here no more in Harlem. Right here in our community, let's just leave. They look like they've been attackers. They look like they might shoot us down.
What?
They just did, look what they just did to Brother Louima. Let us go. Hell no. That's why your children don't follow you.
That's right.
That's why your children turn against you.
That's right.
We don't give a damn what movement
right.
you in.
Right.
Because they see you as weak-hearted, chicken-hearted.
That's right.
No, I told them, stand your
back there. That's right.
Disconnect the barricade where you are right now. If they attack you, beat the hell out of them with the barricade. I say they got one gun, two guns, three guns. Take their guns from them. Hell, they come to kill you. You don't want me to tell our people to defend themselves? You see a brute beast coming to shoot you 41 times, two or three or four, or 400 or a few thousand of them. And you don't want me to say when they attack in that crowd and they're wrestling, that they're wrestling with somebody up here, and you go in the crowd and strip them of their weapon in self-defense and kill them before they can kill you. What in the hell is irresponsible about that? What is irresponsible?
responsible about it. He said, that's irresponsible. And you left when the damn paper came out with a picture that damn big with me right in the middle of the goddamn
police. That's right.
In the middle of the street.
That's right.
But you bought into all of that. Your Negro politician, old Charlie Rangel, who double-crossed Adam Clayton Powell and ended up in the seat that he's in today because he double-crossed Adam Clayton Powell, who Dr. John Henry Clark said was the best politician that we've ever seen in Washington, D.C. And who the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said was the best politician that we've ever sent to Washington, D.C. He wrote in his own words, Adam Clayton Powell, he called himself the baddest nigga in Congress. Yes, he did. But you followed these Negroes. Some of y'all joined in with Giuliani. All of them joined in. The Negro politicians flipped over. We won't have the Million Youth March in Harlem this year. They have now desecrated that sacred ground on Malcolm X Boulevard, and the barricades and all. Many of you will never stand in that spot for a major rally where it's barricaded and the police come out like that again. You're just not going to ever get back out in the streets like that. And the devil this year, last year, used a different strategy. He said, give him the permit quickly.
Uh-huh.
Don't contest it. Don't fight it. Give it to him quickly. And don't mention a word in the media at all. Don't let none of the niggas know. When it's going to be, that was his words. I don't call us that. This year, the Million Youth March will be in Detroit, Michigan. It's going to be in Detroit. We're going to move throughout the country. We're building a mass movement. We're working on mass mobilization. And after mass mobilization comes mass organization. Out of these Million Youth Marches have now come 31 chapters of the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. 31 chapters out of these Million Youth Marches. Those are some of the key things. Why aren't you in New York more? I'm all over. I'm in Atlanta. I'm in each one of these cities, D.C. We're now working in Alabama, Mississippi. We just left Texas. Went to several cities, brother and I, our national assistant, brother Hashim and Zinga. He was with me when the assassination attempt came, when I got shot. He was hit too. Stayed in the room with me the whole time I was in the hospital while my heart stopped beating on the operating table. He was there with his pistol, slept in the chair and stayed in the hospital. Never left all during that time. We went all through Texas, organizing in Texas. Now, we're just hitting the highway. We're building a mass black power movement. That's what must be done. Are there any questions before we close out? Yes, sir, you have a question.
Yeah, what about the Africans from Africa? Are they going to get any reparation too, or are they part of the movement?
Explain the last part of it. Are they a part
African
of the movement?
African from Africa, like the Senegalese we see in Huntsville, history, and etc. Are they part of the movement? Are they part of what's happening? Are they going to get
all of the black world, Africans everywhere, deserve and must have reparations, but the white man may not give any of us reparations. We may have to take what belongs to us and sit around forever in inactivity waiting for some reparations. You may have to take it. Everybody else has received reparations. It should be clear to you that the white man does not have those good intentions. They say Bush is talking about it now, that they're talking about reparations with Bush. When you see these devils doing this, it's not a change of heart. You see how close the white vote is. So these crackers are vying for votes.
That's right.
They can't depend on just white vote. The white vote is too evenly split. So all of them have to have their share of Negroes, their share of the black, the brown, the red, and the yellow voting for them. So Bush, first thing, he appoints a Negro as his Secretary of State. I think that's the highest Negro in the history of America, isn't it? A Negro Secretary of State. And that's all that boy is a Negro. He ain't gonna never be no more than a Negro. I'm talking about Colin Powell. Condoleezza Rice. Now you know it, you can't trust a nigga named Rice. That's his nigga. But he's doing that to attract the black vote. That's all Gore was doing. Gore's planning on doing it again, running again. Hillary is waiting in the wings, trying to build her portfolio, develop her repertoire. She wants to be the first white woman president in the history of the world. You watch what I tell you, that's what she's planning to do, whether she wins or not. And you can't get caught up in this cracker devil politics every time they come with all of their power plays and tricks. So Africans around the world must get reparations. And they must at least make the demand for reparations, because it is a just demand. But beyond that, Africa too must do something for her sons and daughters here in the diaspora, in the Western world. Oh yeah, some of you don't like that. You say Africa don't owe us nothing. Oh hell yes they do. Some continental Africans brag about the slave trade. Some of them say, oh, my father and my great-grandfather was in the slave business. I mean, they're pompous Negroes. And they walk you out and show you everything that they have. Like they little white women or little white men. Just showing you and how they acquired it generation after generation, because we were in the slave business. What about the richest continent in the world being Africa?
That's right.
We are owed not only reparations, but repatriation.
Right.
Here we've been begging continental Africa for another passport. Some foolishness about, dual citizenship, which is a joke. But it's hard to even get a passport. You show up in Nigeria and don't have a visa. And we come in with all our African clothes on and African hair. We just as happy to be home in Africa. And we show up at the airport and some people who look just like us put us back on the plane and tell us you don't have a visa, when the visa system was started by the white man. Oh, yes, it was. We'll talk about it at another point. Started by the white man. White folks can go to Europe. They don't need a pass. I mean, they don't need a visa. They can go from one white country to another without a visa. We are the Africans we are members of the African family of the world. Why can't we go to Africa without a visa? Why do these Negro leaders in these African nations, continental African nations, turn down we, the diaspora Africans, who come home? So yes, brother, all must get reparations, but they owe us reparations and repatriation as well. I know that's controversial, but I had to put it out there. They just gave me a note that while we take questions, before anybody else moves, that while we take questions, that they wanted some help with this event and what they call here, which I appreciate. I did not charge to come here. We didn't make any contract, any agreement that I receive a love offering to continue our work. In the year 2000, we fed over 3,500 to 4,000 of our people in various cities across the country. We set up free winter coat drives and shoe drives, free food drives, feeding our people, clothing our people. And we want to launch even greater programs in 2001. As we did in 2000. And as I said earlier, we want to move from city to city and state to state. And we also want to be able to keep the lights on and keep everything going, because as I say to you all the time, ain't no cracker gonna hire me. And what in the hell would I look like going and sitting down in front of a cracker, asking the cracker for a job? Mr. White Man, Mr. Devil, Dr. Devil, will you give me a job, Dr. Devil? He said, nigga, you crazy. He said, I'm going to bite you and feed you too, nigga. I'm going to bite you and feed you, nigga. Get out of here. Your own people won't help you? So we want to raise some money here tonight. Is there anyone here that will give $100 or $200 or $300 or more? Is there anyone here who will give $100? Let's stop right there. Anyone, we're going to stop for a minute. We're going to get some $100. We have to do it in unity. Is that your hand? To exchange information. Now, I've done this with some of you over and over again, but I'll do it again and again. I'll do it again. Before you do something, you must be on every list around. You know what I'm saying? But that's all right. We'll sit with you here. So everyone who's interested in building the Black Power movement and the new Black Panther Party for self-defense movement and building strong chapters here and throughout the country, please meet with us here at this table at the end. My brother, we had the question right here.
How do you propose to be on myself the way you appear to be very powerful?
And you're
very
easy to
break
the war every second. That's no excuse. It's understood that the white man has tanks and helicopters. He's very armed and all of that. The Vietnamese didn't have everything that the white man had.
That's right.
But the French went into Vietnam, the French white man, and was defeated. The British white man went into Vietnam and was defeated.
That's right.
The American white man went into Vietnam and was defeated. Look, we don't have to be equally armed, matched with the white man, arm for arm. Amilcar Cabral, in talking about warfare, revolutionary warfare on the continent of home, on the continent of Africa. He talked about the Portuguese in Guinea-Bissau and how when they came in, they had all of these great arms and they had everything that you just mentioned. He said, and we don't have that. He said, but we have the will of the people and the spirit of the people to be free. You know, many of our people, brothers didn't say it, but many of our people come to me all the time. They say, oh, so now you're not with the Nation of Islam. Don't tell that lie. I'm still with the Nation of Islam. I may not be in the mosque, but I'm with the Nation of Islam. And I stand on the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and there's almost never a time that I stand before any audience and I don't give my spiritual father, Minister Louis Farrakhan, credit. For what I am and what I am becoming.
That's right.
Who I am and what I am becoming. But there are many who come to me now and say, well, we can't beat the white man. If we got a gun, the white man got a bigger gun. Shut up, fool. It's economics. We got to go with economics. Well, if we got a dollar, the white man got a bigger dollar. He prints the dollars, huh?
That's right.
His picture's on the dollars, right?
That's right.
He has U.S. printing and engraving, is that right?
Yes, sir.
He has Federal Reserve, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Is that right or wrong?
Yes, sir.
Some say it's education. We have to beat the white man in education. Well, if we got a book, the white man got a bigger book.
Right.
He got the printing presses, right?
Right?
He has all the major libraries, right?
Right.
We must have proper education. We must have revolutionary liberation literature. We must have economics. We must have all of that. But whatever you claim the white man having more, whatever you claim is the best solution, instead of also defending ourselves, I can show you where the white man has more of it right now than we do. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Economics, politics, the guns, all of that. But there's no reason to have an excuse to lay down and don't want to fight. I mean, that's like making an excuse. We can't fight the white man. God damn it, you better fight him. You better fight him. We're talking about self-defense here, brother. We're not talking about all of us going against some rusty 22 and jumping out in the middle of the streets or getting up on top of the project. shooting a BB gun at the white man. We're not talking about that. Right now, all we are talking about is what? Self-defense. Is there anything wrong with self-defense?
No, sir.
Malcolm talked about guerrilla warfare.
That's right.
Huh? And talked about the tactics that make a guerrilla set up the playing field so that it's even Steven.
That's right.
Did he talk about that?
Right.
Even Steven, Malcolm talked about. So many of the wars that the white man had lost, he had outgunned whoever it was that he was fighting against. But they were still able to defeat him. So, you know, let's not act like our situation is such a hopeless situation.
Exactly.
There's nothing we can do. Oh, woe is me. We just going to take whatever the white man dishes out. We just going to pull our pants down, bend over, and give evil an open.
Exactly.
It makes no sense. Makes no sense. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Reggie, do you believe that this is your first incarnation on the planet?
I don't believe that.
No way. Okay, do you believe that you have been incarnated every time as an African?
I am not sure.
Okay, I just want to know what's in your head. I'm curious.
Right, but I do not believe this is the first
time. You believe in UFOs, though, right?
You believe in UFOs,
right? What do you mean, UFOs? I mean, like, our heart, special, God.
How you mean?
I mean, in other words, when people say they see sighting of UFO and stuff like that, you believe they exist, right?
I'm not sure, but why are you asking?
Well, I'm just asking your conversation faith, you know?
You know, if there are unidentified flying objects, and if there are some beings out in space, if there are some out there, well, all praise is due to Allah. But we still got to do what we got to do here.
Right.
I'm not going to sit around and wait for some spaceship to come and get me. I'm not going to sit around on the porch rocking in a rocking chair singing, "Oh, swing down low, sweet chariot, come and border, carry me home." No. We want to have a spiritual base. Yes, I do believe. But we want to have a spiritual base, but we don't want to just go crazy, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Just go spiritual. We always have an out-of-body experience. My behind is behind bars, but my mind is on Mars. No, your ass is locked out. You know what I'm saying? And don't care if you do go to Mars. Your mind is going to have to revisit your behind sooner or later, behind bars. So I'm just saying, keep it balanced. You know, don't depend too much on the material and the physical that you don't understand the power in the spiritual. And don't depend too much heavily on the power of the spiritual that you forget how the spiritual acts and works on the physical and the material. It's called balance. It's called Maya.
That's right. How you doing, Brother Mahalo? My name is Obama, and I just want to say to you personally.
You don't like you?
No, the name is Nigeria.
All right.
My father's name. Yes. His name is Oba. Not Oba Lewan, but their friend, my father.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just speak for myself. In many ways, I feel that I personally have been, throughout my 31 plus years, 31 and a half years on this planet, this place, that I've been a victim, me personally, a victim of poison thinking, poison actions of my own. I mean, I could blame people around me in society, but I ultimately am responsible, at least I believe I'm responsible for how I turn out. I think it's good to hold people who we feel, or people who are certainly oppressors, accountable, as well as those who are used to being oppressed, accountable. Do you think that separatism, and I'm going to coin a new phrase, demandism, is just a means to an end?
I don't understand.
What I mean by that, do you think, if the end result, if you believe that if God is one, do you believe that we can't come together, and I don't think that we will in this creation come together. Not as a people, yes, but as all the nations together singing "We Are the World," I don't believe that. Okay. Now I question, do you think the fact that one race or one people get along with another people is just a means in God's eternal plan to somehow weed out those that bring this kingdom under one command?
I believe as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. I believe that the black man and black woman ruled in the beginning, and I believe that the black man and woman will rule again and be returned to the pinnacle of civilization and power. I believe that with all of my heart and all of my mind and all of my soul and all of my being. I don't have some dream of some mixed up, fixed up, hodgepodge humanity coming together in some kind of melting pot. I don't want to be lost in a melting pot. I want to maintain my own racial, national, universal, cultural, spiritual integrity and distinction as a people.
I believe that ultimately we have to be honest with ourselves, and God is pleased, I believe, with someone is truly honest with who they are. Who said that? I believe God is pleased when we're honest with whoever we are. We find out who we are.
I think God is disappointed in black people, and he's disappointed in white people, but I believe that God is disappointed in black people for different reasons that he's disappointed in white folks. He's disappointed in us. If you want to use that kind of terminology, I wouldn't use that kind of terminology. But if you want to use the terminology of God and satisfied or dissatisfied, disappointed or not, he's disappointed in us because we will not stand up and accept our divine rendezvous with destiny as the cornerstone for the kingdom of heaven that is to be established not in the sky, but here on this earth, a kingdom of morality and righteousness that is to be established of, by, and for black people. I can work with the brown man and woman. I can work with the red man and woman, the yellow man and woman. Anyone who works around me knows that I give brown, red, and yellow the utmost respect as long as they're respecting us. I call the Chicano, the brother and sister from Mexico, Puerto Rico, or Dominican Republic. I call them brother and sister. I feel they're family.
Yeah. Right.
You know? But I feel that we are number one and we must work on ourselves first. I don't call a white man brother. I don't call a white man sister. I couldn't have been caught dead at a Mildred's family march for all races and all colors. Crackers running all over the stage, beating all over the stage. Blaspheming the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I believe that the white man is the devil. I believe that the white man and white woman, I believe that they are the devil. Period. I believe that, brother, with all of my being. That is my religion. That is my catechism. I mean, that's the way I talk. Every day. I say, how much does the devil want for that? How much does the devil charge you for this?
Right next
to you. This devil is crazy. How can this devil do this? And sometimes I say to them, are you out of your mind, devil?
That's
right. I say, now, I'm with somebody, and I'll say, now, this devil is crazy. Tell the devil, aren't you crazy? Or I'll say, tell them that you are the devil. You cannot deny that your people are the devil, and that you are the devil. And they'll... And they're going to break down,
you
see.
That's right.
No, they are. I'm not lying. I couldn't stand here and lie with these people standing here. They couldn't follow me and be under my leadership. And they just stand up and lie.
That's right.
They know what I'm saying is the truth. So I don't believe that all of the races will ever live together in harmony. America is the only place where this melting pot has been tried to this degree. Only the white man of America. That's so he can exploit everybody. And as long as he's on top, he'll work with everybody. As long as he's the boss. But if you challenge him for the leadership, you got a problem. Or if you want what he wants, you got a problem with him. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say that I love you so much.
Thank you.
And I thank the Most High for having
a black man like you this time.
Thank you.
And I pray we need to see more black men standing like how you stand. And I will go on. Thank you so much. And keep the great
trip
for all my life. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Understand that we only raised, what, $363? We're going to at least make this $500. How much do we need to make it $500? What is
for? I just left the court meeting. We have a big conference on racism. Yes, I can tell you. Along with people on the African continent who just passed a resolution in Dakar, Senegal, along with Africans in the so-called Americas, just passed the same resolution in Santiago, Chile, that the transatlantic enslavement of Africans was a crime against humanity and to demand reparations. And I just want to invite the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense to join us in that work to popularize this.
Black power, my people, black power, black power. That has been the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. I repeat, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and his last address to the world, last physical address to the world. Enough Negro stuff. Revolution is the only solution. And he dropped so much in that. He dropped so much in that, talking about people looking for every excuse to integrate, and talking about if you're going to be a rapper, you got to rap some revolutionary lyrics, and that people is looking for half changes, not full change. Said people is compromising with reactionary forces like the Ku Klux Klan and the police, and said that evolvement comes from involvement. Said some of you out there is scared to commit. Said that you are scared to commit out there to a cause. He said that we come out of Garvey, come out of Muhammad, come out of Bobby Seale, we come out of Huey P. Newton. That gives you the New Black Panther Party. Talked about separation and independence, how we had to declare and had a land of our own. And he said he understood that many organizations, so-called revolutionary organizations at that time, was scared to invite him places, just like you do, Minister Hashim and Zinga, today in the New Black Panther Party. You're so revolutionary, but scared. And see, that's why you got to have that type of warrior and these type of warriors. You got to have that kind of truth to awaken the blackness in you. And I'm telling you right now, we have no intention of letting up, no intention of letting up, no intention of surrender. And every word that came out of his mouth, we intend to make it bond. We intend for the liberation of our people to happen within our lifetime. And if not in our lifetime, to set the process forward that our children will be able to do it in their lifetime. And so it's important. I want to make sure that you all know this is a four-hour broadcast. We got a whole other segment coming in at 10:30 with our National Minister of Justice, Akbar Bilal Kareem. So you all stand by for that. We're unveiling a National Ministry of Justice. You all know, especially if you're black in America, you're not getting no justice in these courts. You're not getting no justice by these police. You're not getting no justice by these juries that are not of your peers. You got to have some real justice in America, some real justice, a ministry of justice that is applicable by the streets and used by the streets. And I want to tell you all to support this work, to support what you heard from the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, to support the New Black Panther Party, to support our National Chairman, Hashim Mzinga, to support that 10-point program that he read from. You got to call 347-903-0886. Again, that's 347-903-0886. And get involved. Get involved. Don't be afraid of commitment. Commit to the struggle. We have to save our babies. We have to provide a future for our people. We got to do something for self. We cannot beg and be lying there at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue at the gates of the White House talking about, can we have? Fair, can you give me? We have to lead out for ourselves, and we're doing for self. You'll hear more about it here in the next segment. Again, don't forget to celebrate the birthright and the birth date of that Panther Warrior and Panther Cub, Tupac Amaru Shakur, on this date, June the 16th. Don't forget to give thanks for the freedom fighters who have fought before you and fought before us. Don't forget to give thanks for those who are taking chance and taking risks today in 2014. I have to remind you, whether you're in Africa or whether you're in the Caribbean or whether you're in Japan, if you, for my people, that the struggle continues. The struggle did not stop in 1966. It didn't stop in 1970. It ain't stopped in 1980. The struggle continues today in 2014. The first communication that Sister Assata Shakur made when she was blessed to touch down there on the tiny island of Cuba, after being liberated by the Black Liberation Army, the first communication she made back to her people, back to us, here in the United States, she said, carry on, my people. She said, carry on. We'll play that for you one day soon here on another broadcast. She told us to continue to fight and continue to struggle and to not get weary, but carry on in the struggle because there's more to do. And some of you are just so apathetic, you just want to watch on the sidelines. You want to watch while others play in the game. You can't do that. You got to get in the game. You got to go to newblackpanther.org and coast that website and get involved. Get involved with the program. Go to Facebook, official New Black Panther campaign page. Get involved with the National Committee to Overthrow Poverty. Get involved with the Hood to Hood, Hood Generals Community Covenant. Get involved with our clothing drive Dr. Khalid Muhammad told you about. Get involved with the feeding drive, the free food drive Dr. Khalid Muhammad was telling you about. He said they fed thousands of our people. You didn't hear what he said. Fed thousands of our people. And that was back then in 2000. So we got to duplicate. We got to duplicate and do way more than that because people, our people are still hungry in 2014. Not only hungry for knowledge, but hungry for physical food. But we need more helpers to get involved. And we are pressed for time. We got a lot to do in a short period of time because our people are suffering and most importantly suffer from a knowledge of themselves, suffer from an education about who they are. They've been taught to hate themselves and been taught to be self-destructive. And so, brothers and sisters, we want you all to tune in at 10:30 right here on Black Power Radio for our National Minister of Justice, Imam Akbar Alal Kareem, who's going to tell you what we intend to do with this police brutality. We're seeing too many pictures of brothers and sisters that are being mishandled by police forces, being mishandled by security guards, being mishandled by so-called neighborhood watchmen, as in the case of George Zimmerman, or killed as in the case of George Zimmerman. We're seeing too much of that. And it's got to be some soldiers on the front line that are willing to take it to the grill of the enemy. Front line, nose to nose. You're hearing it first on Black Power Radio. Get prepared. We're coming black. National Ministry of Justice, Minister Akbar coming at you. Let's celebrate Tupac Shakur.
They cutting off welfare. Big crime is rising there. You got white killing black, cops killing black, and black killing black. Shit just gon' get worse. They just gon' come soldier, straight soldier. All you want to be a soldier, a soldier. All you want to be a soldier like me. All you want to be a soldier, a soldier. All you want to be a soldier like me. All you want to be a soldier. A soldier, all we wanted to be. A soldier, a soldier, all we wanted to be. A soldier, a soldier, all we wanted to be. A soldier like me. Cracked and took a part of a family tree. My mama's on this shit, my daddy's quitting. Mama's steady blaming me. Is it my fault just cause I'm a young black male? Cops sweating me as if my destiny is making crack sales. Only 15 and
got problems. Cops on my tail, so I bail till I dodge them. They finally pulled me over and I left. Remember Rodney King and I blast on this punk ass. Now I got a murder case. You speak of heaven, punk? I never heard of the place. What is it come up fast? Got a ooze in the black mask. Sucking fucking fast. Now who's the jackass? Keep my shit cop, cause the cops got a Glock too. What the fuck would you do? Drop him or let him drop you? I chose dropping the cop. I got me a Glock and a Glock for the niggas on my block. Mama tried to stab me, I moved out. Sold a pound of weed, made G for the new house. I'm only 17, I'm the new kid. Got me a group for the juice and the ooze thing. But all good things don't last. Tab came back and busted my black ass. Cooling in the pit where the good got. Now my little brother wants to follow with my footsteps.
All I want to do is following the tracks of a soldier, a soldier, a soldier, all